Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
A former Royal Stadium vendor turned radio icon.
It's all tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your home for everything that's f***ing great.
He's been in a band.
I don't like you.
And he's not to be trifled with.
I'm a hard ass. I'm sorry.
He's Todd Liebo. He's Todd Liebo.
I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd.
On the program.
Todd Liebo joins us. You know, he's brought to you by my friends at Family Leisure. Todd, I'm zeroing in.
This, you always talk like this. What are you buying?
Patio furniture.
Finally.
Well, going to get some furniture for the screened-in porch.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I'm very excited.
That's good.
Very excited.
Well, buy some of that cheap, awful stuff they sell out there.
Yeah, right?
They don't have
you wish.
That.
They don't.
It's the good stuff.
It's absolutely fantastic. We got a little space, so you got to put a chair on it.
You have to have a chair. If you got a space, you got to be able to sit.
That's how I figure. Family Leisure, familyleisure.com. They got their floor liquidation sale, the floor models. Got to go. Hot tub spas, pools, of course, patio furniture like I'm looking at. Would love to get. My wife won't go for it because there's nothing wrong with the table we sit at to eat at. They have one that has like the Lazy Susan in the middle.
Oh, in the middle.
So you put your ketchup
in.
And mustard and all that stuff
spin
and boom,
around.
Just spin it around. I want that. She's like, why would we get that? We don't need that. We can pass the ketchup. I'm like, because it's cool.
It's cool. It's there.
I want it. I want to get
lazy
that.
Lazy Siren.
Yeah, but we're not going to do it. But go check it out. Familyleisure.com. If you want to find them online, K10 and Ridgeview in person, 25 years in business here. Locally owned and operated. Dennis and staff, absolutely outstanding. Mention 810. Save even more. Do be careful when you go there, because when you go there, you're going to want to come home with the entire store.
That's why I was good last night. I was driving past there at 10:30 at night, coming back from the KUK State game.
And
so
you just,
they wasn't open.
So you pulled in and just pressed your face against the window. If they want to know what greasy paw prints, they were yours.
It was lit, the sign of the store, a beacon, but I knew it was closed inside, so I didn't go.
Okay.
Smart.
Okay.
Smart on my part.
Good times.
I could have stopped in on the way out there. But I didn't.
Are you a dart player?
I like to play darts. I'm not good enough at it.
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I do like to play. My daughter said, let's get a dartboard. There's a cool Chiefs dartboard. Dad, we should get that.
With the real darts or the ones that
keep
score for you?
Real darts.
Okay, so you'd have to keep score yourself and all that?
Or the kind that goes in, you know, it's sharp edge.
Yeah, sharp edge. Not one of the little plastic ones that does this.
And I said, there's not a snowball's chance in hell, child, that I am going to have your friends
throwing darts in my home.
That's not happening.
We'll put a piece of plywood up in the garage. You can go
there
in
there. You there you go. They've got, if you love darts, they've got some cool dart boards. Everything in there is cool, so just go check them out.
Darts is a fun game, though.
It is fun.
Darts are fun.
The reason I think most people probably don't get their safety deposit or security deposit back at apartments.
Yeah. Holes in the wall. It's just toothpaste in it. Just fill those holes in.
Toothpaste?
That's a cheat, but not for 400 holes.
Really?
Why does it smell like mint in here?
Wow.
I don't know. That's where the dartboard was.
Didn't know you were in the business of scamming apartment complexes.
People scamming apartment complexes or the other way around? I don't know.
Curtis?
You ever get your deposit back?
No.
Okay. And you've never even thrown a dart.
0-4.
0-4? Never got a thing back.
They claim they need it for cleaning and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. And one time.
I think that's why I finally broke down and bought a house. I was tired of that.
One time that was legit. But whatever the deposit was.
One time was legit? Was it that time you messed on the floor?
No.
Or is that when you lived in Renshaw's apartment?
No, they fixed it before I took over that one. It was all new. That was probably one of the times I should have gotten it. But
you love your complex now, though, right?
Oh, they're fantastic.
Tell some stories. Let's move along.
But, the money that I've spent, and
at least they're not a stickler for the rules.
Oh no, and you know, minutes.
No,
they'll work to help you out.
Officiating sucks.
The whatever $600 I've paid in deposits over the last 18 years is a lot less than
the cleaning,
maintenance,
yeah,
AC
for sure. Yeah.
Hey, so and so didn't work. Okay, we'll be able to fix it.
Yeah,
I've personally never had a bill.
Absolutely
as a
okay.
Homeowner.
No,
everything works perfectly. I mean, it's just sheer bliss.
Our water bill the other day, and it was high. And I was like, what happened? Do I have a leaky seal on a toilet or something like that? And then, like, the next day, my wife's like, oh, yeah, remember when it was 4 degrees, we dripped the faucets? That added up.
Yeah, it did.
It did. I mean, it absolutely added up because it was really cold for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we went through some gallons.
My brother-in-law,
but it's better than a pipe bursting in your home.
My brother-in-law in Chicago did not drip the faucet, and it was even colder in Chicago, and they're not living in their home for the next 4 months.
So I guess that extra $40 on my water bill.
It was worth it.
Well worth it.
It was well worth it.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. All right, Todd, we had a little basketball game played in Lawrence, Kansas last night. Jayhawks won, covered.
Yes.
Covered the number. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Did you
that.
Get down and on the game? I was down on the Hawks on FanDuel.
I had a couple of different things going. I had a parlay that was awful, and then had the single game parlay, and then I had a parlay that was good that I had Kansas in, but I had already lost it because I was on a bad side in a 6 o'clock game. Arkansas, maybe. Maybe I bet against them. Did they kill A&M or something?
They had a great dunk.
But it was interesting, though, because you know, even when they're sitting there at 10 or 11, just a couple of sloppy things at the end of the game, and there's a cover. That gets people to watch these things till the end for absolutely sure.
I was watching.
It looked like it was going to be, gosh, at one point, was it 30 to 14 or something? And that's, you know, the Cats, they ended up, you know, Jerome Tang got his technical. They kept fighting and fighting and fighting. They got it to 5 once, mm-hmm. but they just couldn't keep it going. And Kansas had a great night shooting the 3. And they didn't. They don't always shoot the 3 great. They
you
shot
were there,
great
correct?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I mean, you're just becoming a reg.
I'm a reg.
Just a reg there in Allen Fieldhouse.
Well, here's the deal. There was no Chiefs till Thursday. I figure I got to go earn my keep.
You walk in, and all the Kansas fans are like, Ty, you're like Norm, rolling into
not
the bar, at cheers.
Leaves. Not quite that. I did get Oklahoma's not playing tonight. What are you doing here? I mean, I said it's a top 10 basketball game. I'm going to come over here and do this if I can. And it started at 7, not 8. You know. That was key.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, maybe wouldn't have been there. 7, it's pretty good. Pretty good. I can do that.
Okay.
And it was fun to see. I mean, it's great atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
They were overflowed in there. I don't know exactly how the student tickets were, but they couldn't cram any more people in. And so a couple of hundred students maybe, at least began watching the game on television indoors in like the volleyball arena or something. It was really packed up tight. So it was great atmosphere. And there were, like, maybe more K-State fans than you normally see around because they're very excited about their team.
They're
proud,
heard
some audible cheers when they did some things. It's great. I mean, I say it all the time. You know, Kansas ruined my life in 1988 by beating Oklahoma, all that stuff. But there, I've never been to a lot of these other places. If you get a chance to go watch a game there, it's awesome. I mean, it's just a great place to watch.
Yep.
It's outstanding.
Yep. Does Kansas win the league now? Is this springboard them to a championship yet again?
It could. I think they were in real trouble if they didn't win that game last night. But they won the game last night, and now we'll see where they go. It was one of the topics last night after the game.
They've got Texas in 2 games, or Iowa State in 2 games.
Yeah,
State, then Texas. And Texas
Iowa State on the road, Texas at home, and then
and
on
State
the road again
with.
At Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So they got 3 or 4 here on the road. Coach Self, I think we played this fight a few weeks ago. I mean, he called their schedule ridiculous because everyone's schedule is ridiculous. And I reminded him after that afternoon over there, you don't have to play you. Think about the other teams who have all of these teams, and then they play you twice. I mean, this is an absolute gauntlet in this league, and they got that done. So after the game, I asked Coach kind of what he thought it might take. They're halfway through now, what it might take to win this league.
From a one-loss record, I have no idea. You know, 5 looks like a pretty good number, maybe 6. But I don't know. I can't see anybody run the table the last 9 games. I can't see that. But, you know, I've been wrong before. But, you know, you know, for us to have a chance, we're going to have to go steal a couple and then hold serve at home. But it's different, though, because even holding serve at home has become more difficult than what it ever has in years past. So, you know, 5-0, we're in great shape. 5-3, now we're looking up. And 6-3, you know, if you'd have told me as many close games as we played, that's probably about where we deserve to be honest with you.
So they have 3 losses now. So if five may win it, I mean, I think if Kansas only loses two games the rest of the year,
I think five will absolutely win it.
Absolutely.
I think it'll be outright.
Probably more like six, though. I mean, that's.
I think 12 and six, two teams getting to 12 and six is likely, and there'll be three or four, probably four if it's 11 and seven.
Texas has a one-game lead right now, but their next two are in Manhattan and in Lawrence. If they go win those two games, all right, well, maybe they're going to win the thing easily. But do you think Texas is going to go win those two games? That's going to be a real tough test to do that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's going to be a real tough test. These schedules are they're hard. And one of the things Coach Self said last night was, you know, K-State's already been to a lot of the hard places. They've been now to Lawrence. They've been to Austin and won. They've been to Ames and lost. You know, they've been to TCU, who has killed people at home. They've been to Waco. They've been there. So their road games maybe aren't as daunting, but they still have to play. Texas at home was in first place. TCU, who crushed them in their place, they're coming to Manhattan next week. Although Mike Miles is hurt, I mean, that's a blow for them. They haven't played the same since then. They've got Iowa State coming to their place, Baylor coming to their place. I mean, when I remember, like, two games into the season looking at KenPom and how they held the thing out, and it was like 12 and 6 was going to be the first place. I'm like, someone will do better than that. But I'm like, I don't know if someone's going to do better than that. This is really difficult. I think a lot of Iowa State, especially at home, and they came down and they took Kansas to the last second, and they have lost two in a row now. But, you know, one was on the road against Missouri, but they haven't looked the same. All of a sudden, Tech is not losing every game by 3 points. They're winning some of them. There's nothing easy in this league. Well, I mean, there have been some blowouts, but there's not an easy week in the league. You know, you used to have like, you'd have two games, like, you win these two. I don't look at any of these go, that's
no,
a, that's
Tech
an easy
and West
week.
Virginia and Oklahoma State. I mean, those still aren't easies.
No, they're not. I mean, TCU, before Miles got hurt, they went to Morgantown and got beat. You know, I think it was the next game after they had just killed K-State.
Well, Iowa State lost to Tech.
Iowa State went down and lost to Tech. You know, I mean, they're all like that. It's who probably you need to win those big ones, but you just can't fall on those other ones. That's why Kansas won the league for 14 years in a row or whatever. They wouldn't go have that bad night
right
in Norman or something like that and lose a game like the others did. And that's why I think Coach Self, generally speaking, from about right now, is about when they kind of turn it on and start getting better, and we'll see what they do. But if they go win in Ames, I'll say they're going to win the league, because Ames has not been a place that people go win. They've been beating everyone up there. So if they can win this game Saturday, I think that gives them the driver's seat. And then, of course, it's a huge one Monday.
I think you're calling it early.
It's probably early.
If they got to beat Texas at home.
Yeah, they'll need to beat Texas in one of those games.
Otherwise, they're two back.
Yeah.
And
of course, what if Texas loses in Manhattan Saturday? Then all of a sudden, you know what I mean?
That's true.
It's right there. I mean, Texas is going K-State, KU on the road, okay? That's could be a lost weekend for them. Saturday, Monday, up in the state of Kansas. They got West Virginia home, probably win that, okay? But then they're going to Lubbock, which they're playing better, and they still hate Texas, even though Chris Beard isn't their coach. Place will kind of be there. So they've got three road games right here that are coming up, and
this just in. And yet another example of why you don't just bump up the assistants.
I agree with you, but they just beat Iowa State, too. So, I mean, and they took Kansas to the final second of the game there. I don't think they're great, but I'm not going to sit there and write Texas down for a win everywhere on the road. I can't do that yet.
You can in Lubbock.
Okay, I'll write it down.
Write that down.
Well, I'm not. What are you writing down for this weekend for them? K-State and Kansas on the road? 0-2? Or
I think it's a really big game for K-State. To bounce back and hold serve at home, it would be really important.
Well, that's one of the things that kind of leads into what Jerome Tang was talking about afterwards, kind of asking him for a report card to where they are halfway through.
Well, with 6-3, I don't know. Y'all picked us to be like 0-9 right now. So where y'all think we at, you know? I mean, so I feel good about where we're at. I don't think we've played our best basketball, right? And so I think we can keep getting better. I'm fired up about it. I've asked our guys. I don't remember us making a turnover. I don't remember us missing a shot. I don't remember us missing an assignment from tonight, right? We're going to wash this thing, and we're going to focus on what's next. And that's the only way. Otherwise, you let a team beat you twice, and we don't want that to happen.
That's what you're just talking about. You got to let go of this game, and because it's a big one coming up. You got first place.
But you can let go of this game, play well, and still lose because Texas is good.
Yeah, they're good. They're very good. They're very good, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for dealing with everything they've dealt with their coach getting fired, you know, in the middle of the season and continuing to play well. It says a lot about the program itself, the players and the assistant coaches and everything. They've done a nice job so far. But they haven't, like we said, they haven't been to Manhattan, they haven't been to Lawrence, they haven't been to Waco, and they haven't been to Fort Worth. And those are all teams in that I think there's six really good teams in the league, and then there's some other teams in the league. So they have only been to one of those, and they have four more to go on the road.
So tell me, what do you think they're going to finish?
Texas? I think Texas is
no going, K-State.
K-State? They've got three losses. I'll say they're going to have seven losses. That would be 5-4 down the stretch. You know, they've got Oklahoma twice. I don't think Oklahoma's very good, although I know they beat Alabama last week. So I think they can win both of those. And they've got Iowa State at home. Iowa State doesn't take it very well on the road. That's a chance. So if I get them at seven losses, that's four losses down the stretch. I mean, I could see them losing to either Texas or TCU, maybe. I could see them losing one of their road games or two of the road games.
Because I had this question with Gary Parrish that, like, what is K-State? Because Ken Pom says they're 25. Mm-hmm. Their resume of who they beat certainly warrants being in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's right? What they've done?
Maybe it's in
are
the
they
middle.
Over their skis?
Well, I think maybe what they've done is they have a win in Austin on the resume. That's what the Ken Pom does for you, right? And gets you up there. Was that just some crazy game where they each scored 100 points? And that was maybe the first game after
Chris
Peter thing?
Well, they're down
Peter
in the Ken Pom. They're up in the real rankings.
In the real rankings? Yeah.
Ken Pom says they're 25 and going to finish.
Seven losses or eight. They don't have eight. That would be disappointing.
That they're going to go 11-7 in the league and 23-8 overall.
Yeah, 11-7 would be all right. That'd be 5-4 in these last games. It'd be one game worse than they've done in the first half. I think they should be satisfied with that. If it's 4-5, they'd probably be pretty disappointed, I think, to start 6-3 and then go 4-5.
But should they be? What is this team?
I've seen them up close last night. That was certainly not their best performance, but I don't see people play great in Lawrence. It just doesn't happen. I think they're probably closer to 25 than closer to 10.
Okay.
Yeah. That's probably fair.
That's what I kind of think, too.
Yeah, I think so. Now, listen, if they go beat Texas and TCU in these two home games, maybe I'll readjust that.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big weekend for them. This is a big weekend in this league. If you talk about the Kansas at Iowa State and the Texas at K-State game, those are big.
It was a big game last night. Brought out some of the stars, Todd.
I was
Dynamite
there.
Dynamite transition, Seren. Thanks.
I was there.
I'll take it from here.
I do like this part. You know, they always announce the former Jayhawks who were in the crowd and all that stuff. You know, like Jeff Graves was there and Kevin Young and Milton Newton. And
we know
like
Greg
that.
Gurley's there. Why do they always feel
they
a need to announce
they
him?
They don't announce him every time.
Oh,
it has
don't?
To be very thin. For
okay.
that. To, and I'm not saying thin and with Greg.
Greg's
I'm
not just, thin. No.
Actually, he's looking very good.
Is he?
He was wearing white last night, and that's a bold move
really,
for a
that
man
is a
like
bold
him.
Move. Interesting strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
I told him don't get a dilly bar at halftime because you don't want to have that chocolate drop on your white shirt.
No.
But Travis Kelce was there. And
the
Travis Kelce. So the anthem goes, and you usually get a little Home of the Chiefs about anywhere around here. It was deep last night. It was 16-3 Home of the Chiefs. Didn't matter if you were in purple or blue. You were in for that one. And then it was first half, and I don't think people knew Kelce was there. But then they showed him on the screen and say, look here, we've got Super Bowl. And he, of course, you know, pumps up the crowd. They play Fight for Your Right to Party right afterwards. The place was electric. The tomahawk chop went, too, at one point during the game. I mean, it's just like, I don't know if you guys—
Unsanctioned
did
by
you
your
read
Kansas
this?
City Chiefs,
Unsanctioned,
by the way.
Except for the part where they played the drum to it.
Totally different.
The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, and Travis was over there doing this, so people were excited to see him. It was pretty cool. So after the game—
Missouri fans were not excited to see him there.
Of course not.
They're upset.
Listen, it's
what are
closer.
You doing? You play in Missouri.
It's okay. And he went to a Big 12 school. Not yet. Not till July 1st.
Kind
to
of,
a different
yeah.
Big 12 school. Yeah. It's going to be a Big 12 school. He'll probably be over there when the Bearcats come to town for sure. And he won't be sitting there. He didn't have any Jayhawk clothes on.
Do they bear down in Cincinnati?
No, I think the bear down is Arizona Wildcats for some reason. Remember that? The old, what was their old coach's name? The gray haired
dude. Lute Olson?
No, the football guy. What was that? What was their football coach's name?
It
was before Makovic.
Yeah.
Or after. Bear down. They used to have that on the football field.
The guy
put your Googler on that while we play this Travis Kelce.
The guy that was there for a long time.
Yes.
And had like the Desert Swarm.
Yes. We'll think of it while this Travis Kelce bite's playing. But Travis Kelce went into the locker room after the game, and you know, listen, Bill Self was happy to have him around.
He talked to everybody. Of course, the thing about, you know, I've been around him a little bit, you know, and I'm not going to say we're boys or anything like that, but I've been around him a little bit. You know, the thing that amazes me, I mean, he's on top of his, you know, craft in a way that very few are in the world. And he's great to everybody. I mean, he treats everybody the same. And he was so excited. And I'm not talking about from a KU fan perspective. Just so excited to be part of Energy, and I can't imagine every defensive player loving him as a teammate. I mean, he's fun, and I'm sure that if things go well in a couple of weeks, he'll be a ton of fun for the next month or so after that.
He's always a ton of fun. I mean, it's Travis Kelce. He lives life to the fullest.
You can find him.
Yeah, he's around. Not out at the
not when
availability.
Not when not he's scheduled, the, but, you know.
Hey,
if you find him, he's a ton of fun. Great guy.
He had a bad back last week, and it looks like that was true because he had treatment and all that stuff. So, Dick Tomey was at Arizona.
I know. I had it. I had thought of it, and I was going to see if you could think of it, and Curtis said it.
Yeah.
And then I got a text.
I got a text, too.
Stop.
Yeah, but Dick Tomey.
Who'd you get a text from?
Scott Forrest sent me a text there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I had Googled it as well.
Cheater.
It's not cheating. I Googled it and I got a text from a friend. Phone a friend.
Cheated.
They used to bear down out there. Because why wouldn't you bear down if you're a Wildcat? I don't know what Cincinnati does. I don't think they have the horn frog thing.
Do they
or the
cat
slime.
Up?
I don't know if they cat up.
Yeah, sure.
What
probably.
Is a bear cat?
Do they meow?
It's not a. Is a bear cat a real thing or is that fake? We should probably know this by the time this gets into the league.
I don't know. Is it like a anteater or something?
I think it would be more like a wolverine or a badger.
Well, we know the Big 12 sticklers are making sure your animal mascots are actually real animals.
Now, is that some sort of a shot?
No, it was a. Mentioned to the great bird that you went and watched last night.
Oh, I thought you were taking a shot at the wildcat. That's a man with a wildcat.
That's
head.
The Jayhawk is not a real bird.
That's the joke,
sir.
It's not a real bird.
I know.
A bear cat.
A combination of the blue jay and the red hawk.
Like a binturong. It's a little it's like wolverine looking thing, like something like this. Looks like something I wouldn't want to tangle with out in my trash. I don't know.
So you're saying their mascot roots around in the trash.
Well, a bear cat is from Southeast Asia. I don't know why they're in Cincinnati.
Very,
listen,
very,
whatever.
All
There's
over
not
Cincinnati.
Wild cats running around most places either. Around
Roaming
there,
around though. Cincinnati. A lot of
they
what
got
the
lot
hell
of
is a wild cat?
Well, I guess that could be any cat
That's
running
right.
around. But
yeah,
not... So.
Cat was wild, man. Go red, go black, go bear cats.
There you go.
Boo.
I get the popularity of Tiger. This is no offense meant towards K-State. I get the popularity of Tiger. Every kid loves a Tiger. Tigers are great.
Three in the SEC.
Everybody loves Tigers, right? But what the hell is a wildcat?
Well, I mean, like a cougar.
There's as many wildcats in athletics as there are Tigers.
Or a bobcat or a... you know, a cougar, mountain lion.
Well, you get college kids love cougars.
Who doesn't?
And my understanding is it's reciprocal.
There you go. That's the way it works.
So the cougar, that makes sense.
And a BYU cougar, they've named their wildcat. It's an actual cougar.
I mean, Mrs. Wormer.
Yeah, that's right.
Wildcat is a species complex comprising two small wildcat species, the European wildcat and the African wildcat.
Also not
So I guess it is
America.
Something.
Yeah, okay.
Very indigenous to Manhattan, Kansas, and Lexington, Kentucky.
All the tigers running around Missouri.
Yeah, right.
Not around.
At the Columbia Zoo.
No.
Give us the definition of cougar. What's it say for cougar?
Stay off there. Oh, we got to take a break.
Here's one, urbanslang.com.
Say for cougar.
That's actually like a mountain lion. I think a cougar is an actual cat.
It's a large cat native to the Americas.
What else? Look at alternative definitions.
Spans from, oh boy.
He's not on the Webster's. Yeah.
Don't go to images. That's a different thing.
I think the pumas are down there in Central America and in South America. There might be a couple of pumas right around the
Southwest. Why is Demi Moore here? What's going on? Take a break. More with Todd Lebo. Lebo Sounds is brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Go online to familyleisure.com or go see Dennis and his great staff in person there at K10 and Ridgeview. Great sale going on right now. Mention A10, save even more. It's at Family Leisure, familyleisure.com.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. How many starting quarterbacks have lost a Super Bowl for two different teams?
Craig Morton.
Dallas in 5, Denver in 12.
Kurt Warner.
St. Louis in 36, Arizona in 43 on this date.
Peyton Manning.
And Peyton Manning, Indiana.
That's it.
Indianapolis in 44.
Un, deux, trois.
Trois. Morton, Warner, Manning. Warner on this date in 2009.
Is that right, 3?
Yep.
We're watching that game
Todd,
right now on NFL Network.
We nailed it, yeah. Kurt Warner against the Pats.
I was nailed just, it. Mike Martz. Where's Mike Martz now? He's up there coaching this game.
He's out of the game as far as I know.
Bill Belichick's still coaching.
Still coaching.
Tom Brady just quit yesterday.
Just quit yesterday.
Okay.
You know what brilliant offensive mind I just saw on the little bottom scroll on NFL Network is getting interviewed right now? Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter. He was on maybe a staff with Nick Sirianni.
He's getting offensive coordinator interviews right now, it said.
Those deals?
Bobby Bethard also passed today.
I saw that. 86? Is that what the year was on that?
Put together those Gibbs. It was the GM of the Gibbs. Washington champions teams.
By the way, Kurt Warner just got hit right in the mouth. No penalty.
It would have been such a helmet-to-helmet shot back in the day.
What a difference. It's so funny to watch these old games with the rules now. You're like, oh, they're right there. Penalty. Kicked out of the game. Probably fined $50,000. That hit right there, absolutely, probably removed from the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so last night, Gene Taylor, K-State Athletic Director, was over there, and I thought, that's a nice chance for me to say hello to Gene and talk to him a little bit.
So you wore him out.
I heard three minutes, and I just want to talk to him about a few things. You know, the schedule had come out, and there's, you know, Chris Klieman, does he need a new contract, those kind of things. But I started out asking him a little bit about how happy they are right now with what Jerome Tang has done with the basketball program.
Yeah, it's just been phenomenal, really, and you know, it's obviously beyond basketball, just what, you know, Coach Tang has brought to the community, the students, and you know, his energy and passion, and you know, it's just been fun to be around, and what he was able to build so far with this team, and you get two players that had left, and he's put together a pretty good group, so it's been fun.
Finally got a football schedule. I mean, this, what do you think of what you guys saw on there?
It's fine. I mean, I don't really worry about schedules too much. You know, I just want to make sure that it follows our principles, which it does. You know, you don't have too many away games, and if you play a Friday night, you know, all those principles. And it was challenging because you had a new mix of schools, and you're not playing everybody like you normally do. So that's why one of the reasons it took so long. So, you know, we got a couple of new teams on our schedule, new conference teams, and obviously not playing Oklahoma, but we knew we weren't going to, you know, play both Texas and Oklahoma. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
They initially said they were going to try to announce 2 years of a contract. We know kind of why they didn't. Do you expect Oklahoma and Texas at this point to be in the league the next year?
I think so. I think the reason we just did the one is that's what we've typically done, is just a one-year schedule anyway. We've worked on a grid for a two-year deal, but I think they just typically, you know, do one, and I'm assuming they'll be in, but you never know anymore.
You never know, right?
You never know.
There's been a lot of coaching things happen, contracts elsewhere. Are you guys thinking about an extension for Coach Klieman or where that sits?
Well, you know, it's one of those kind of things we do at the end of the season. You know, he and I, he's been busy trying to wrap up recruiting. He's going to be gone this week and finally take a vacation. And we'll sit down and kind of, you know, he gets an automatic extension because of the 8 wins. And so we'll just see where he is from that. And, you know, gets a call from his agent, we'll sit down and talk.
It's like, just generally speaking, we see these, I mean, really big numbers coming out for a lot of these coaches.
I guess the fear for a lot of like K-State, Kansas, and you know the Big 12 schools is maybe you can't go have a $9 million coach like they're rolling around in some of these places. I mean, what can you all afford?
You know,
I don't want to give you a hand up on anything, but you know.
Well, you know, we just have to be competitive, and we have to put our coaches in a position that they like being here in the culture, and that the money that they're making, they feel that they're being paid fairly, compared to their, you know, their peers either within the conference or where they are from the success perspective. And if we can do that and give them the other things they need, you know, the facilities and the support system for athletic training and nutrition and all mental health and all those things, I think, you know, we can just be as competitive as we can be. And at some point, if somebody comes along and says, we're going to pay you $10, $11 million, we'll just have to pat them on the back and say good luck to you.
We're about a year into the NIL thing. Is it going all right?
I think it is. You know, our coaches seem to be doing okay with it, and we are able to get recruits, and we've got some guys on our teams across really all sports that are having some nice deals, and so far it's been good. And we've got two collectives that are doing a nice job, and we've got some individuals that want to help. So just answering a lot of questions with our donors as to what's the best route to go, NIL or operational dollars, and we're just kind of helping them figure that out.
Plenty in that deal there, working backwards, the NIL thing. He said it right there. Working with people, is it best for you to give us money, or is it best for you to give money to a collective? I mean, those are real things that are happening. And they have budgets, and I know they would rather have the money, but you got to have the players too.
And that's always been the fear of the schools, is that all the money will just go straight to the kids, and then you're like, whoa, how do we build all these buildings?
Exactly. So that's one thing. I thought that was pretty interesting when he said someone comes along and offers someone $10 or $11 million, probably I just have to pat you on your back and say, good luck. Now, maybe in 5 years, if the money keeps exploding, maybe that number is different. But, you know, when Josh Heupel gets $9 million, he got like basically a almost double your money kind of raise thing, a lot of money. I guess the question is, who was going to hire him away for $9 million? I mean, there's not 130.
OU?
There's not 130 schools who are going to do that.
OU?
I don't think so. I mean, they.
That was, first year was just a banner year, wasn't it?
Well, no, it's not that part. I don't know if he would go back there. I mean, he got fired because it wasn't working well. So I
used
know.
To hear Jim Harbaugh would not go to Michigan. You know where Jim Harbaugh coaches now?
He's at Michigan.
He's at Michigan.
But he didn't get fired by Michigan before. Josh Heupel got fired for Lincoln Riley to come into.
Do you think? Would somebody have gone after Josh Heupel and thrown a lot of money at him?
This offseason, maybe not. I mean, he's only been there 2 years, and he beat Alabama, and then he got just crushed by like.
What
South
was the
Carolina.
Biggest job that was open this year?
This year was not the big year. Last year was was the big one. My point is, I think sometimes we talk about this a lot. These guys are negotiating against themselves. Many times. And I think these people who think they're very smart, some of these presidents and CEOs of these schools, they get buffaloed by the likes of Jimmy Sexton.
I'm with you that there's no one there right now. Right? So on Chris Klieman, is anybody calling right now? Well, all the jobs are filled.
Mm-hmm.
No, if Chris Klieman hasn't already said, listen, I need a raise. No, all the jobs are filled. But if he says I need a raise, you better give it to him.
Well, that's what he said. He says, if agent calls me, we'll start talking. I think this is...
But my point is, like, what you don't want to do is like, well, I mean, who's calling?
You don't want to forget about
it. Who's calling you?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's calling you, so I don't really need to, so I'm going to pass. Well, then you piss him off.
Yes.
And then you don't get the chance to get it.
And
done.
I think this is one of the more unique situations in college football with these two guys, with Gene Taylor and Chris Klieman. It doesn't exist in a lot of places. They've known each other and worked with each other in the small pond, and now they're working in this bigger pond. And I think that's a good thing. But if someone came to Chris Klieman, you heard him say it right there, and said, we're going to give you $10 million, then it sounds to me like they just can't afford that right now.
Do you agree that like Chris Klieman probably has the view, if I can get 80 to 90% of whatever's being offered to stay here, I'll stay here?
Absolutely. I think he will, because I think he enjoys where he is, and he likes. I think he likes. I mean, listen, who wouldn't want to coach the best players in football and coach Alabama? I guess, but with that comes, and it's not for everybody. You know, we saw this. Dennis Franchione was as hot a commodity there as there was, and it tore him up within 2 years. He could not take it, and the guy could coach, but he didn't want the rest of the crap that goes along with it. Nick Saban's fine with it. It works. That also has worked because they win 13 games every year, and they don't have big long stretches where
so
they, where
you said we'll work backwards. Keep going back to the 10 or 11 million comment.
Yeah, I think right now that's just not in the cards for Kansas State to pay someone much money.
Could his agent ask for that? Could you see 10 or 11 million given to him next year
at Kansas State? No.
Somebody else coming
someone
and
else?
Offering.
I mean, they better go win again.
Right. Which do you think is going to happen?
Maybe not to that level.
Not to that degree, it's not.
No, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I don't think it's going to happen to that degree, no.
And the thing is, like, okay, so where are you going to go? Remember, like, 3 years ago, Matt Campbell was that guy. Mm-hmm. And now they're not calling Matt Campbell because he's not that
guy.
And
I think there's
going to
be a regression next year with Chris Klieman, and that's why if you're his agent, you get him paid right now.
Yeah, and he just got another year on his contract by winning 8 games. You already mentioned that in there, so there's another $4 million guaranteed to you, or almost $4 million, whatever the buyout part of it is.
Where should he be?
I think he should make more money than Lance Leipold. That would
who's at?
He's at like just over
five and change.
Five
right?
and change, and Leipold or Kleiman's a little bit under that. So I think I think
Chris Kleiman should be at $6 million.
Yeah, I'm there. $5.5-6 million.
I would be happy if I'm Gene Taylor and I've got the donors that'll give me the money to give him seven, and to avoid having to have this conversation
multiple times. But then again, once you start having this conversation, it just seems to come up like every year. I mean, Mike Gundy has never left Oklahoma State, but he's always got these little whatevers, you know. And so far, Jim Harbaugh hasn't left Michigan. But even he's twice now this year he's had these things. And now it's not going to go to Denver. He had another conversation with him, right? But now they've hired Sean Payton. But I think eventually it wears thin on some of the places. But I just don't think that's going to happen in Manhattan with these guys. I don't think so.
No, I don't think
with
so.
With the relationship.
I think he'll keep giving them, you know, close to what the going rate is, and close to the going rate will be enough that Chris Kleiman's happy. And
work back one more. I asked him if he thought Oklahoma and Texas were going to be in this league in 2024, and he said, I think so. But I remember the soundbite we played with Brett Yormark from October saying we should have the schedule out, and they're talking about a two-year schedule coming out because there were going to be 2 years with 14 teams in the league in late November, early December, and they got this in just under the deadline of February. And it's 1 year. Because I don't think they know if Oklahoma and Texas are going to be in this league the next year. We'll see.
Yeah.
But the answer was a very strong, I think so.
Yeah.
But you never know how it's going to be.
Do you think so? That OU and Texas will be there for the 24 season.
I think it's probably less than 50% right now, or we would have seen a schedule out.
Agreed.
I think
the negotiations are underway to buy out the last year.
It gets cheaper the closer you get to the end.
Because there's less that you have to leave behind.
There's less you have to leave behind. And then you just want to get it over with at some point, too. You know, the lame duck years aren't great.
If you were the commissioner, what would you do?
With them, I think they're playing it right. Don't be easy on it, because if you're too easy on it, then you don't want to negotiate away that money. Be hardline as best you can on it, and I think they're doing that pretty well. So they're playing the game the right way.
This is what I would offer them. I want every penny you owe us, but I'll let you pay it over 2 years.
Yeah, a little bargain, a little installment plan,
yeah,
or something
like
that.
We want all the money, but you can pay it over 2 years.
You know, maybe
instead of one
big
check
fat chunk,
when you leave, over 2 years,
you
can pay us, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, and that at that point it may get there, but they have to get that figured out in the next few months. You can't do this like next October.
Right.
I think you need to get it figured out before then.
As a sidebar, can I tell you that your Mark's tenure as the Big 12 commissioner is going to be one of the shortest tenures?
I think you're probably right.
And commissionerhood. Commissionerhood.
Yeah.
We'll
see how this goes.
That's not lasting a long time.
We haven't talked about this in a while. We'll talk about this more when the Big 12 tournament comes
down. It's functionality and stability.
He's talking about these experiences
dynamic.
And all this stuff, these things he wants to do that just don't sound Big 12 tournament-y. We'll see if those things end up going. He's got big ideas, but it just right now seems a little square peg round hole.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Big 12 tournament has like the entire lower bowl empty or one whole
because
section where it's
something.
Like, here's our new thing we're doing. And everyone's like,
nah, I'm not.
Yeah, right here your new thing.
I'm anticipating a DJ because a lot of NBA arenas have DJs in house right now.
Yeah, they have those live places. Yeah.
Maybe some Sandstorm, you thinking?
Bring it. Bring it. Just don't show any replays. Yeah. But yeah, so it was nice to talk to Gene last night. Get a little insight on some of those things. I thought it was pretty good stuff for just 3 minutes.
One more with Todd Lebo. It's Lebo Sounds, we call it. It's brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. You can find them online at familyleisure.com. Everything for fun with the family. Talk about shuffleboard, foosball, poker tables, pool tables. Love my poker table. Got it right there at Family Leisure. It's a great spot. Patio furniture, hot tubs, spas, pools. I know it's chilly today, but the spring really is not that far away anymore, Todd. Look at how high the sun is.
It's coming up, baby.
And we're only, what are we now? 4 weeks, 5 weeks away from getting rid of the
daylight saving.
The darkest 5 weeks have come and gone.
Yeah,
that's right. Darkest
it's
10 weeks.
Better, I mean, every day.
Yes. Yes. Looking forward to it. Go see him. K10 at Ridgeview online at familyleisure.com. Todd Lebo's here. He's a big deal, people. He's the vice president of sports operations here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, dropping a little Lebo Sounds on us, brought to you by Family Leisure. Dennis and his great staff. Mention 810, save even more. I got a great clearance sale going on. Get in there. Great patio furniture. Don't be taking my set, though.
No. It's yours.
I got to get out there.
It's marked.
We decided on what we want. We were debating.
Put a sign on it. Say it's yours.
Do you need a footstool, Todd?
Maybe not for every chair, but for how many chairs are you buying?
Two chairs.
Yeah, one footstool. Share it. I don't know.
That's kind of where we went.
Yeah, you don't need
one,
all
one
that.
Footstool. Okay, good to know.
All right, I'm playing one for
your
here.
Guy. You know what people. You know what his nickname is.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that during the break.
Yeah.
Lance Leipold had
They call him Front Butt.
Yeah, media conference today because it's signing day. It's not really. I mean, it is. It's the last signing day, but almost everyone had already signed. But he had some availability today, and they signed a couple of guys. I don't care about those guys, but I like this soundbite.
You don't care about the kids, do you?
I don't care about the kids, but I like this soundbite about kind of. We've talked about this before. The insanity of the early signing day, bowl games, bowl prep, coaching changes, all that stuff happening at once, and you know the transfer portal is still it's still a thing. And here he is, kind of talking about what they can do about this.
We just have to find a way to balance the high school calendar, our season and bowl calendar, spring ball, end of school year. Some people are semesters, some are trimesters. When you're going to open this up, when does summer school start? There's just a lot of, you know, and you cover recruiting, so you're looking at this, but there's other angles, you know, and then it's like, well, these schools are going to have spring football. These people don't start till this time, and when can you go out, and how many days can people, you know, come on your campus, and how many times can you go out? And it's tough. It's, you know, there's concern in this profession for the assistant coaches, especially, you know, is, you know, at this point with everything that's changing, as we gravitate more to a, you know, it's always been a 12-month deal in a different way, but the travel and the other things, and now the weekends that kind of continually bleed into each other. You know, there's concern that a lot of guys are going to try to get to professional football before this becomes professional football.
I haven't heard many college coaches say that part on the assistant coach side. We used to kind of always think college football is a much easier life than professional football. The recruiting part's one thing, right? You got to try to convince a 17-year-old to come to your campus. But generally speaking, they have some legitimate time off. And pro football, if you're good and you're in the playoffs, you get 3 weeks in June off is what you get. Mm-hmm. And Lance Leipold said right there, hey, man, we're worried about losing coaches to just go be assistants in the NFL. And, I mean, grind there because of this insane grind they're going through for parts of the year in college. I'd never heard anyone say that.
So, you think we're going to see a bunch of staff shake up there?
I think
in Kansas?
You see people go different ways. I don't think particularly Kansas there, but he's just talking in general. You know, if you're a lower paid assistant, which are still good jobs now, okay, but is it worth all this insanity over this stretch here? If you can go do something else, the college game has gotten harder, I think, and with the transfer portal and all that. than it was like 3 years ago.
No doubt. No doubt. It is. It's and more time consuming. And but it,
it's
I
for the assistants, especially. But they're also, not making $5 million.
I also think it's the land of opportunity. And guys like Jerome Tang and Dennis Gates are taking advantage of it.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Let's do it.
We'll take a break. We come back. We'll get you the things you need to know.
All right. How many NFL teams have been in their current stadium more consecutive seasons than the Chiefs? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.